future.
There are no people.
There are no people in the future.
No people at all.
There are no people in the future.
Where did all my people go?
There are no people in the future.
Let me try my people call.
Hey everybody, it is Wednesday, July 14th, 2021. Welcome back. Like, it's Cyril, welcome back. We're both kind of sitting here trying to get our feet planted firmly back on the ground, jumping back into the time stream. Yes, once again, here we are. This is the latest addition to Raging Chicken's collection of podcasts. Yes, it is the Wednesday show with Cyril Mikulenko. Cyril, of course, is that progressive columnist from the Bucks County Courier Times and the Intelligencer. Now, this show joins Out to Coop Live, our Monday evening interview show, and our Friday politics roundup, in which Sean Kitchen and I will break down the good, the bad, and the ugly in state and national politics. Sean's even back this week, right? So we're live. We're going back on Friday, too, as well, to return to the fight, I guess, is what it is. Yep, here we go. You can get all our shows by subscribing to us on Podbean, on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, like, we're streaming on YouTube, too, as well. Make sure you get on over to our YouTube channel. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure you like the stream. And make sure that you hit that little notification bell so that you know that every time that we go live, we got a new episode that is uploaded. You should also sign up for Cyril's newsletter on Substack. That is CyrilMikulenko.substack.com. That's CyrilMikulenko.substack.com. If you're having trouble spelling it, don't worry about it. The link is right in today's show notes. You just go ahead and click on that and get on over there and hit that subscribe button. And you can help support this show and all our podcasts by becoming a patron for as little as $5 a month. Just go to patreon.com/rcpress. Today. Your support, look, has helped make this show possible and has helped kind of really bring some awesome guests to the show so far, because they're recognizing that more and more people are saying, hey, you got to pay attention. Just like if you listen to me this past Monday, you know that, you know, Posh's paying attention. They're monitoring me. You can also help like support this show, like I said, by sharing it with your friends and kind of tweeting it out. It makes you so that more people get to join in. And you can also join our Discord server to continue the conversation all week long. You just click on that link in the show notes. You can join our Discord server and continue the conversation. Special shout out once again to our guy who wrote the song, our intro song, Jonathan Mann. There are no people in the future. And check out all his great stuff on his YouTube page and follow him on Twitter at Song of Day Man. That's with two N's, at Song of Day Man on Twitter. Well, you know, here we are. Cyril, you know, this is going to be quite a day. I think we've dubbed it the, let me see, I got a little post-it right here. This playing nice shit ain't cutting it show. Well, welcome back, man.
Thanks, Kevin. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is, we thought we'd just start off the show today, talk a little bit about the direction we're going to go to the show. You know, one of the first things that we did during our first show, we talked a little bit about what our ideas were about going forward, right? Why we're doing the show, connecting up with progressives in kind of the community, kind of building out a media network, and then slowly kind of, you know, seeing what we could do with this format. I want to just, you know, for those folks who might be saying, hey, wait, I thought they were back this week and are over our refreshing our YouTube channel right now. We made a decision that we are not going to stream the show live anymore. And it's for a couple reasons, right? Like, number one, as you know, from a few weeks back, we were running into some internet issues. Sometimes that's on our end. Sometimes that's happening up in the streams. It's really hard to figure out when it's going to be 100% on. Also, the stream that was coming from Riverside to YouTube was not so good. So we had to kind of reload the video later. So we're going to pre-record kind of every week, but we're still going to drop the show every Wednesday. The other reason that we wanted to do this was basically what you heard last week, right? When Cyril took over the realm, over the helm of the ship, as it were, and had started his first interview. We'd like to have some more interviews On our kind of like quote unquote off weeks, right? You know, we're going to alter between when Cyril has a column that drops, we're going to talk a little about his column and those off weeks, you know, having shows about what international issues and bringing on kind of more interviews. And we want to make sure we have the flexibility to kind of like, you know, record the interview with our guests instead of saying, you got to be here at 10:30 on Wednesdays. This gives us a little bit more flexibility to bring in some more voices to the podcast. But Cyril, I got to say, while we were away, I loved the interview that you did. And I know it was like, you know, okay, here's your little primer, you know, run with it, man, run with it. Talk a little about what it was like, kind of with that interview and some of the kind of ideas that you've been having about, what you'd like to bring into the show.
Sure. Thanks, Kevin. It was great. It was exciting. You know, I've always appreciated the work that you've been doing for years, kind of, you know, running this podcast, but I even have a greater appreciation because I think there's just a little bit more pressure on you when you're kind of like, you know, in charge of like keeping things going, keeping the conversation going. Thank you for saying that I did a good job.
I did. I loved it. Yeah.
And, I feel like, you know, I'm already like getting kind of more comfortable with this. This is kind of like new to me. You know, I know I have like a pretty distinct voice in my writing style. Right. So it's just about being, kind of like seeing how that translates in the just like in the conversation and just kind of like getting more comfortable with it. But yeah, the interview was great. I mean, Rotimi Adeoye, from Bucks County, doing amazing things with the ACLU, had been, working with Senator Casey, et cetera. I mean, he really interesting guy, bright, young, kind of representative of the future of the party, I think, like moving forward, and a progressive who's just like really dedicated and like putting in the work to actually, make a change, not only in the community, but in his country. Right. He, like we were talking about earlier, just the work that he's doing around like voting rights. And then we'll talk about this in a little bit. I mean, yeah. They're under assault, right? Like the Republicans are trying to roll back the clock pre-1964 Civil Rights Act, pre-Voting Rights Act, right? Back to like the social and political order of the 1950s. But with regards to like moving forward with the Wednesday show, yeah, I mean, I think there's an opportunity between like the networks of folks that like both you and I have, right, with the work that we've been doing around like, in your case, academia, as well as activism, and in my case with like activism and journalism, I think we have like this really like deep pool of folks to choose to kind of like reach out to.
Yeah.
Who are doing like amazing work, not only in Bucks County, and we're definitely going to highlight like local progressives because, this is what this show is all about, but also like kind of like broadening the net to talk about, things that, the work that people or groups are doing nationally, as well as internationally. So I'm excited about this. I think it's really going to, broaden the reach of the show as well. And, in addition to the audience learning, I think we're going to be learning as well about like,
exactly,
the types of organizing that folks are doing, the types of analysis that these folks are employing, et cetera.
Yeah, and this is the kind of thing, too, is like, folks that listen to the show, especially the folks that are kind of in Bucks County, know what's going on. We're wide open, right? We'd love to hear from you. You can kind of contact me directly. It's ragingchickenpress@gmail.com. You can shoot me up. Hit us both up on Twitter, right? If you got ideas about somebody that we should be talking to that I think would be good to have on the podcast, man, that'd be absolutely fantastic. And, I was thinking about last night, I was watching, I sat down and watched Chris Hayes's All In, and I watched the Maddow Show last night. I forced myself to kind of like take it all in because it was kind of a big news day. And then I was thinking about the show, and I was thinking about, if you're sitting down, you're watching the national news, right, about the attacks on voting rights, right? And then in your mind, you're like, well, what can I do? right? It seems like, you know, you go to your phone and you look for the, you know, there's these, you know, petitions you could fill out or so on. Well, that's kind of like, you know, that's out there, right? And I think that's a lot of people are in that kind of that weird space of saying, hey, I'm really concerned about these issues, but I don't know where to go. But then, you know, we've been doing, as we've been doing for a while and Out to Coop Live, right? That, you know, we have some folks on the show that are right here focused in Pennsylvania. Like, so we had Candida Kenner on, right? With the New Pennsylvania Project, where they're kind of focused squarely on voting and like defending and expanding voting rights. And then we've got like the interview you did, right? You got folks who are doing it right here in Bucks County. So when you're thinking about like my views, like help me, you got this stuff going on nationally in voter rights, right? We should be able to point you in directions. There's someone like down the street or out the door or within kind of like, you know, like a short drive that you can get connected with, right? Because that's the kind of mobilization I think that we need to be looking at.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's that transition about from like kind of like understanding the issues that are happening, and then from there doing the work to change them, right? Doing the activism,
100%.
The education, organize, mobilize, and act.
Yeah, so let's talk just a, you know, brief today. This like total warning to anybody who's tuned in today, right? Like I said, both Sierra and I are kind of like kind of getting our feet on or, you know, on the ground again this week, right? Just kind of getting back. And so I'll be a little more freewheeling today than when we're kind of really looking at before. But, you know, just we picked out a couple of things that were kind of going on in the news that, you know, seemed to resonate. And as we were talking right before the show today, it actually, you know, this whole idea, this, you know, this quote, which we'll get into in a minute, you know, this plain nice shit ain't cutting it, really seemed to kind of emerge organically as a theme for the show, right? So, I mean, if you look right, like top knot, like top of the line, right, you've got, you know, the attack on voting rights, which we've been covering for a while now. You've got the Texas Democrats who actually fled Texas to Washington, D.C. to deny a quorum in Texas so that they cannot kind of enact kind of, you know, more voter suppression. And then Biden was just down in Philadelphia, right, with this speech, right, saying that we must defend, you know, democracy. But not going as far as saying, okay, we need to end the filibuster, right? You know? So, I mean, it seems like right now, this is going to be things that we're going to have to be paying attention to pretty closely because really the attacks on voting rights are just, feel like they're just unleashed right now.
No, absolutely. And then, you know, like speaking about, you know, Biden's visit, I mean, there was local groups that like went down there to kind of like push their message, like Bucks County Indivisible, Pennsylvania Indivisible, right? These are a couple groups that you can get involved with locally that are doing the work because, you know, like you said, like he didn't go far enough, right? And that's what we need to do is push him to go where he needs to go, which is about right. Talking about ending the filibuster, because that's the only way that we're going to be able to actually, you know, tangibly protect voting rights in this country.
Absolutely. And so every place that Biden goes or his surrogates or even kind of like leaders in the Democratic Party, they need to be hearing from people on the ground and having people show up and demanding more. I mean, I just don't know how else it is. I mean, right now we have, you know, Governor wannabe Doug Mastriano kind of sent a letter out to Biden saying, you know, I demand a meeting to talk about the fraudulent election, right? You know, like whatever. But I mean, this and, you know, the Pennsylvania GOP are actively trying to push, their kind of like auditing scheme and voter suppression act right now. So this is actually happening in Pennsylvania right this second, right? So we've got to fight like this two-front battle. Like we saw the Texas Dems, like I hope they're a model, by the way, for what Democratic parties need to do, right? I mean, take notes, right? These folks are kind of uprooting and they know now they're facing arrest when they go back to Texas, right? The Governor Abbott already came out. So yeah, we're going to throw you in jail. We're going to make you do your job if you come back, and he's going to keep on these special sessions. But this is what Pennsylvania Democrats need to be doing too as well. I mean, all hands on deck right now. We kind of like allow voter suppression to move forward at the state level, right? That's directly on us. But at the federal level, we've got to push our representatives to end the filibuster, to make sure that we can pass like the For the People Act, for example. So.
No, absolutely. I mean, Biden should say, he should call Mastriano, tell him he's going to meet with him, but just have him meet at FBI headquarters so that they can ask him about his role in the January 6th insurrection.
Exactly. Right? I mean, they've got an FBI station in Philly, right? So, like, just right there. Welcome him down. Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the look on that guy's face? Oh, that would be beautiful.
But I mean, yeah, like you're right. Like, well, you know, and what the Texas Democrats are doing, like God bless them, because that, you know, like you said, like all hands are on deck, and this is, you know, an existential fight for the country in the sense, or at least with regards to like, you know, a multiracial democracy, right? So, you know, and you know, I was talking to someone from my next column, and you know, he brought up the point that like, you know, we've really only been a democracy since the Voting Rights Act, right? Like,
1965,
yeah,
right?
so it's pretty young. You know, we have a pretty young democracy here, and it's fragile, right? Not only from, you know, not only thinking about like that point, but just like what happened January 6th as well. So this is just like a continuation of January 6th. It's just a different battlefront, and the battlefront are the different state legislatures, as well as, you know, US Congress. So yeah, we have to encourage our lawmakers to fight this. Like, thank God we have Governor Wolf here to veto this shit, right? Because once it passes, it's going to be really hard to roll it
Right.
back again, right?
Well, and it's like, you know, and what happens, and I look at it like this. For those folks that, you know, thank God that's why we have to have another Democratic governor. Okay, great. But what about all the local races, right? What about all those other state legislatures? Because you know what? You're like, they're not that far. The Pennsylvania Republicans are not that far from being able to go override the veto, right? And if we don't, I mean, look, this is, I mean, this is what I mean. It's like all hands on deck here. This is pretty crazy. But so, like, that's one thing that's going on this week. I have to say, right before, and I won't kind of go into this too far because it's just, you know, we've talked about this in the show before, and I'm going to be talking more about it on Friday and probably next Monday. Like, right as we're recording this today, the Posse Board of Governors are voting on the consolidation plans, right? And unlike his veto on the Voting Rights Act, you got Governor Wolf basically just came out by saying, yeah, this is great. We have to go forward. We have to do this. And if I, you know, I'll say this now. I mean, I don't know the outcome of the vote yet. They haven't voted in my timeline, but I'm pretty sure the Board of Governors will go ahead and approve this today. And then we're going to be in a different world, which is why on this coming Monday, I want to have some folks on from who are involved with some of the resistance on this to talk about it. But I mean, you know, this is the kind of thing, right? I mean, here we go. This is, you know, this playing nice shit ain't cutting it,
I
right?
mean that was almost like the point of my column about it, you know, back when I wrote it a couple months ago. It's just like,
Yes.
yeah, they need to be more militant, you know, more organized. And don't get me wrong, like the work that they've been doing the last couple months around like, you know, getting like, you know, the public to voice their opposition to this has been great, right? There's been a huge public outcry, but the thing is. And I'm not sure if they just kind of took this into consideration, but Chancellor Greenstein just doesn't care, right? He,
Right.
you know, and just, you know, everything that he did up into this public comment period just kind of fortified that same sentiment. He had these, like, you know, bullshit outreach to the faculty, right? Didn't adopt any of their concerns or changes. You know, he supposedly talked to a few students, right? So many students that he had to, you know, imagine or just make up students to represent what they quote unquote so-called think. So, you know, this is, you know, they need to, like, you know, moving forward, I'm interested to see like how the unions react, how students react. Do you just accept this, or do you just kind of like figure out a new strategy to stop this? Because this is just the beginning, and we've talked about this, and you've said as much to me as well. Like this, we're opening up the floodgates now to complete like neoliberal makeover of higher education in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, look, this is what I've been, you know, I've got a little video like montage that I put together on our YouTube channel of Chancellor Greenstein when he first came. He was doing his little kind of tours when he was first hired, went out to IUP and basically said, look, I didn't land here by ask accident. I went shopping. That's what he said. He told like ABSCuff members in that meeting, like, I went shopping for a place just like this to bring about the transformation of public higher education. This is this guy's laboratory. We are his lab rats. And he's convinced a whole, like, kind of like, you know, group of folks at the top that this is the way forward. And now he's going to shop this like nationwide. And the consequences just for the state system, right? I mean, once you break this glass, right, then everything's on the table. Right. Because basically what it's demonstrating is that there is no organized power that can push this back and that they could run right over us. They included in this report, I listened to J.B. Martin's president of ABSCUF's comments this morning. And she basically said, well, look, credit where credit is due. They did include some student survey comments on this one. Right. Mm-hmm. They did include some results. But guess what? It was 1% of potential incoming students and 4% of existing students. Jeez. Right. I mean, so and that's what they're going to use as a way to say, look, students said this is what they said.
Well, back to the theme of the show. This plain nice shit ain't cutting it.
Yeah, there you go. Right. And speaking of that, right, we've got, you know, if you want to talk about a complicated industry right now, we're talking about the coal industry, right? Because obviously this is an industry that is it's got to be on its way out when it comes to climate change. However, you've got real people. This is their only kind of means of, like, you know, kind of survival with no other kind of alternative. And folks who have been fought the hard fight, right, to actually kind of make an industry which used to just kind of like chew people up and spit them out, right, into something that actually has kind of family sustaining jobs. And I'm also talking about, say, the coal miners. And you brought this to my attention. Why don't you talk about a little what's going on with the coal miners in Alabama?
Sure. I mean, there's been this like months long coal miner strike. With like several hundred members of the United Mine Workers of America against the Warrior Met coal mine. And so what happened is just like, you know, the previous company had gone bankrupt. With the new ownership, they negotiated a contract in good faith, right, to kind of like get them out of the bankruptcy and kind of like make them whole again. So they took some cuts, right? Some serious cuts with regards to like pay, time off, etc. Probably shit they shouldn't have never agreed to in the first place.
Right, right.
But they did because, you know, like they're good people, right? They thought, okay, we're going to like, you know, we care about our community, right? And we care about each other. And we just want to kind of like work and help the company. And then the company will kind of like get us back when we renegotiate the contract a few years later, because that's what the company said they were going to do. So when it came time to renegotiate the contract, surprise, surprise, right? The company's still screwing them. Yep. And so they voted to strike, right? And they've been striking, I think, for about like 3 months now or a little over.
Yeah, it's over 100 days. Like, I think 5 days ago it hit the 100-day mark, I believe.
Yeah, and then, you know, what we're seeing is just maybe like a resurgence of kind of like militant organized labor, because the people at this point are getting fed up. They're getting harassed by the police. They've been arrested. They had a driver try to like drive into them, which is part of yep. this whole like nationwide like anti-protest, anti-constitution, anti like you can't walk on the street and think you're safe.
Exactly.
From Republican legislatures they're passing laws that are making it okay for people to drive over protesters, right? And we saw what happened in Charlottesville with the white supremacist running over and killing the protester there. I forget her name. I think it was like Heather.
Heather Meyer, I think.
Yeah, that's it. So what we're seeing is like now, like, you know, the strikers, the union members are getting pissed off. And, you know, there was a great article in These Times about it, you know, and that's, you know, where we came up with the theme of this show, yeah. Where he said this plain nice shit ain't cutting it anymore. So, you know, there's ways to kind of like support these strikers, and we can put that in the show notes. But like you said, it's just like it presents, you know, an interesting conundrum because, you know, on the one hand, like, we need to transition away from coal, right? Where do we go moving forward? The problem is like the political leadership of this country has failed to create the infrastructure to transition to this new green energy. And these new green energy industries, you know, like you and I were talking about earlier, they need to be union, right?
Right, exactly.
But, you know, until there's an alternative, right? I mean, we have to support them. We can't just say, oh, no work.
Well, that's exactly it, right? And I think that this is the perfect example. And this is why, like, the Green New Deal, for example, was such an important document. And again, whatever iteration of that is, that was a resolution. Let's be clear. That was not specific legislation. This is saying these are the markers of what has to happen for this kind of just transition. And that just transition includes, right, you know, union jobs, right, that are in these new industries. And like what we've said, I believe actually even on this show is like, look, we should be locating, right, these new industries, right, in areas that have been historically decimated, like, by the extractivism of the fossil fuel industry, right? And make sure that those union leaders, right, those people who've put in their time, right, to do this should be the first ones in line, right? First ones that are kind of brought over to those new positions, right? To help train that new workforce that not just in terms of like the work that's been done, because they're going to need training themselves, but how do you kind of transition over, but in how to be a union member, right? And, you know, especially in places like Alabama, I mean, this is where the mine workers made these kind of inroads. I mean, 100%. Like, these are people whose lives are on the line and they've been screwed by an industry that's been screwing us all, right? So got to go ahead and support them. I will indeed put that. They have a strike fund that's kind of out there. It's the UMWA 2021 strike fund, if you want to look it up. If not, you just could go down and scroll down to the show notes and click on that that donation button.
Yeah, I mean, sadly, like, this, you know, transitioning workers has something that both the Republicans and Democrats have kind of failed to do historically. And you can kind of, like, look to, like, NAFTA and free trade as an example.
Exactly.
With the, different factories getting outsourced and the workers just being left behind and discarded like trash.
Exactly. And like just transition, like, to be clear, or like kind of retraining doesn't mean like giving them credits to go to community college to learn how to code. Yeah. Right. That's not what we're talking about here. Right. We're talking about actually guaranteed kind of transition to help build this new economy that we need for the survival of us freaking all people. And if you haven't been paying attention with what happened in the Northwest this past week, we have record temperatures of 112 degrees. We have wildfires burning throughout kind of Oregon. We've got droughts that are kind of deepening throughout the center of this country. And we have deluges of rain that have been kind of like running up in these kind of training storms up the East Coast, right? So, I mean, this is in our backyards right now, right? Not to mention the devastation that's happening elsewhere. So we need this like ASAP. Keeping up the theme of this play nice shit kind of ain't cutting it. What are you working on for your column this week?
All right. So tomorrow comes out, and what I'll be doing essentially is removing the hood of this anti-CRT movement to kind of like unmask its historical roots, right? Where it's come from, and kind of like the shared tactics, disinformation techniques. And I was able to interview Jason Stanley, author of How Fascism Works, The Politics of Us and Them, to kind of like break down the history of the movement that we're seeing now, which is essentially, you know, a neo-McCarthyism, which has kind of adopted, different types of things that even like the Ku Klux Klan and the John Birch Society, have used in the past. So this is where we're at. And this is just, there was actually another good article about CRT in the Bucks County Courier Times by Chris Ullery that we can throw in the show notes too. I'd recommend folks, check that out. He did a great job of just kind of like explaining what CRT is, what it isn't, and where it isn't, which is actually K-12 schools where these people are protesting it. So definitely be sure to check that out tomorrow in the Intelligencer and Bucks County Courier Times.
Absolutely. Check it out. And, it couldn't be more timely. I got some messages late last night, or was it not late last night, but last night, that there was a protest on the state capitol steps against critical race theory yesterday. All right. And good old Penn Ridge School District and their recent board meeting seemed to feature loudly in it, as we've been talking about on this show. So it couldn't be more timely. And there was a second round of the CPAC, which is the Conservative Political Action Conference. And one of the things that they were pretty clear about is like where the action is going to be in school boards. Right. So Cyril, once again, is kind of right on top of things. And make sure you go ahead and you click on that thing. Well, I wish I could put it in the show notes right now, but go to the Bucks County Courier Times, head on over to the Intelligencer and make sure that you get it as soon as it comes out. Of course, you can just like follow our Twitter feeds and you're going to see it as soon as we see it. So there you go. Well, Cyril, man, it's great to be sitting back in this chair, kind of chatting with you again, you know, and I'm so happy that we're actually going to be able to get together and like have a beer or three.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to be back in Bucks County. And, you know, I'm really looking forward, you know, not only to reconnecting with you, but just kind of like connecting with a lot of the folks in the progressive community that I've been kind of like meeting online, at least through my writing and newsletter and just other forms of work.
Well, fantastic. Well, hey, everybody, you know, thank you for tuning in, and just kind of keep an eye on our kind of Twitter feeds. We'll kind of send out some information about exactly what's going to happen next week. I don't want to kind of spill any beans too quickly. We've got a couple kind of irons in the fire about what we may be doing next week. But we're working on some additional interviews going forward. I'm sure you're going to have a lot to say once you read Cyril's kind of newest column. So do check that out, too, as well. But for now, hey, this is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. And it's great seeing everybody again. Make sure you tune in Friday. We'll be kind of streaming live with Sean Kitchens, like amazing return from Utah, right? As we get back into all the craziness that's been going on. See ya!